In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're on Volume 2, March 4th, 1899. O man, how much I have loved you. If you knew how I grieve in having to chastise you. But my justice forces me to do to this. O man, how I cry and grieve over your lot. Then Jesus would burst into tears, and again he would repeat those words. I, Louisa, did as much as I could to hide my sorrow in order to console him. And I said to him, O Lord, it shall never be that you chastise man. Holy Spirit, do not cry. Just as you have done in the other times, you shall now do. You shall now pour it into me. You shall make me suffer. And so your justice shall not force you to chastise the people. So here Jesus, again, this is 1899. How much I have loved you, how I grieve in having to chastise you, but my justice forces me to this. So here, this is more so now, over 120 years later, basically, how much more we need to be chastised. And Jesus is, he's holding back at this point for this year of mercy. And we have to understand that when the year of mercy ends, it means the beginning of chastisement. It's the beginning of justice. And again, it's nothing to be afraid of. This is the time that he has planned. He says this to Louisa, that this is the time the Father has planned. And what does Louisa do? In 1899, she says, don't cry, Jesus. Don't cry, Holy Spirit. Don't chastise. Pour it all into me. Make me suffer. So here we again see a little soul who loves mankind with the love of Jesus, with the love of Mary, knowing that there has to be punishment, knowing that there has to be suffering. And she says, pour it into me. Again, we're going to see how much our Lord loves this little newborn because of her love for us. Volume 2, April 12th, 1899. Jesus came quickly and told me, you, Louisa, are my tabernacle. Being in the sacrament for me is the same as being in your heart. Did you see? Where is Jesus? Okay, this gives you a clue. Louisa, you are my tabernacle. Where is Jesus? Being in the sacrament for me is the same as being in your heart. Rather, in you, Louisa, I find something more. I am. He uses his name there, God. I am. Able to share my pains with you, and you with me, a living victim before divine justice, which I do not find in the sacrament. See, there's no one there sharing in his sufferings. St. John Paul II says Jesus is the prisoner of love. He's in that tabernacle, alone, isolated. The churches are empty. And Jesus says this to Louisa, when the churches close, he says, I am closing them. He says, you can blame anybody you want, but he says, I'm tired of the sacrilegious. I'm tired of the indifferences. I'm tired of the neglect, and I will close the churches. And that's what's happening worldwide. And so Jesus is asking us to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And again, if our parish doesn't have Eucharistic Adoration, we can find it on the internet. You can go to savior.org and you can spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament in your own home. But spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Let your heart also become a tabernacle where you can share with God. You can share with God his sufferings that he's going through. Okay. Volume 2, May 9th, 1899. Great chastisement can give you, the priest and the people, is to free you, Louisa, from the state of suffering. So the time when God punished the earth, Louisa was free of suffering. And you'll see a number of times Jesus will show Louisa earthquakes and floods, and he will show Louisa catastrophes, and even when the writing stopped in 1938, what happens immediately after that is World War II. The greatest chastisements can give you, the priest of the people, is to free you, Louisa, from the state of suffering. My divine justice would pour out in all its fury because it would find no opposition. So the one that opposed this great outpouring of chastisement was Louisa. Oh, please, holy spouse, beloved good, my dear life Jesus, oh, please let the pains come back to me. Give me, Louisa, the sufferings. Do not look at my unworthiness, at my grave sins, but at your mercy, which has not exhausted itself. My daughter Louisa, it is my divine justice, the justice of God, that wants to pour itself out over the souls, over creatures. The number of sins in men is almost complete, and justice wants to come out to make prompt of its fury and to find reparation for the injustices of men. Now, the one line there is kind of interesting. The number of sins in men is almost complete. There's a certain number that when that happens, it's over. Okay? This is the thing we have to understand. The reparation for the injustices, the fury, is going to take place. Okay, now Jesus says to Louisa that evil has to exhaust itself. Sin has to exhaust itself. So we haven't seen anything yet. And yet, the number of sins in men is almost complete. And this is something that I think we have to really become aware of, that in our life too, there's only a certain amount of time we're here. There's certain number of minutes that we're here, or certain number of hours that and days that we're supposed to be here. Some people are here for a shorter period of time. My friend, his son died 2 days ago, they weren't expecting that. He had four kids and was not expecting him to die. I think he was 35. We're here for a short period of time, and therefore we have an opportunity and obligation to fulfill our mission, fulfill our office. As Catholics, when the bishop slapped us across the face at confirmation, we became soldiers for Christ, and it was just such a gentle tap. I don't think we took it seriously. You know, we should have people like St. Louis de Montfort. Louis de Montfort was a big guy, and when they gave him trouble, he went into a bar and threw everybody around, and the next day the church was filled. Maybe we should have bishops like that. I think that's what would be very, very important. So it says very clearly, the fury, the prompt of its fury, the reparation is coming. Look, to show you how I am. This is God's name again. I am. Embittered I am. And to content you a little bit, I, Jesus, want to pour out my breath into you, Louisa. And so, drawing his lips near mine, he sent his breath that was so bitter that I felt my mouth and my heart, my whole being intoxicated. If his mere breath was so bitter, what must the rest of Jesus be? He left me with such pain that I felt my heart pierced through. So here, the poison, just imagine the poison that Jesus has to drink because of the sin of man. And he shared that just a little bit with Louisa. And she says very clearly, what if this is so bad, what must the rest of Jesus be? See, God can only, he's got a certain number that has to be sustained. Remember in some of the apparitions, Our Lady says the cup is to the point of overflowing. We have to understand the time that we're in. And I've had people say to me, well, I've heard this for 40 years, nothing's happened. Well, Noah took his boat 100 years to build. And with all the ridicule, all the mocking, all the rejection, all the, you know, sneering. It's the same thing with Our Lady of Fatima. It's 100 years this year that she's warned us. And Jesus said it will be like in the time of Noah. And we've had 100 years since Fatima of telling us to come back. And we've gotten worse. And so what's coming is justice. Don't be screaming at God. But you can share with God in the sufferings that are going to happen for the rest of mankind. He says very clearly that he's overwhelmed by the amount of sin. Volume 2, June 9th, 1899. How much the loss of souls grieved Jesus. More so, since it was a newborn baby that they were going to kill without administering holy baptism to him. So here, Luis is being shown by Jesus what's happening. And it seems to me that this sin weighs so much on the scale of divine justice that it is one of the most that cries out for revenge before God. Yet these sorrows, sorrowful scenes, are renewed so often, so very often. Now this is, I mean, we're, as I said, through abortion, we're killing, what is it, 3 babies per second. We're not even counting the means to control abortion through abortifacts. We're not even talking about that. What did Mother Teresa said? She says, the consequences of abortion is nuclear war. But she also says the mother of abortion is contraception. So when people say, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what the church says. And that's what happened when mankind went against Humanae Vitae. Everything fell apart. I mean, once they said, I'm not going to listen to the church. And it was, what's Humanae Vitae? What is human life? If we had learned back in 1968 what human life was or is, we would be living divine life today. But because we said no to the church, because the church failed its responsibility and duty to hear the voice of Christ. What did the Pope say? He said in Humanae Vitae, if contraception, artificial means of birth control, continues or happens, there will be abortion, legalized abortion. There will be legalized euthanasia. I mean, he was a prophet. I mean, right now in the hospitals, starting in January, if you're over 76, you're not going to get any help in the hospitals. That's the Obamacare. If you're 76, God bless you, because you're basically on your own. I mean, they're going to say you're not worthy to have anything done. And again, as was said, there will be boards that will say who lives and who dies. And that's just the consequence of what? Failing to hear the voice of Christ in Humanae Vitae. It's the same thing here. This is Jesus speaking to us. And we have to begin to hear Jesus. And again, you hear Jesus in the silence of your hearts. This is where silence, the profound silence, is necessary. You have to go to your room and close the door and focus on Jesus. And as you read this, everything is going to really change for you. It's going to be really an amazing situation. Volume 2, is this where we are? June 23rd, 1899? Okay. My adorable Jesus, what are you saying? You always go there. That you want to do justice, but no, mercy, mercy on your people, I pray. That's why he said to St. Faustina, I will give the world a time of mercy, and then at the end of that, it will be the time of justice. The church has given us the time of mercy through the Pope. And if we haven't used this time wisely, then we have to face the time of justice. The time of mercy is coming to an end. You have to understand, this is not just another Christmas. What did the Pope say last year? What did the Queen of England say last year at Christmas? They said, enjoy your last Christmas. Both of them said that. I mean, you have to understand that this, we have to understand, it's not the end of the world, but it's going to be very difficult. You think about it. Jesus says to Faustina, I'm going to give you a time of mercy before the time of justice. And if you don't embrace my mercy, you must embrace my justice. We've got 15 days. I'm not saying it's the end of the world, but, hang on to your hats. It's going to be really interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun for those in the divine will. Yeah, it really will. July 4th, 1899, my daughter Louisa, you are victim as I am. Here he uses his name again. To let all your work shine with the same intention as mine, that is pure and holy, so that finding my own image in you, Louisa, I, Jesus, may pour out the influence of my graces freely, and I may offer you, Louisa, adorned in this way, a fragrant victim before divine justice. So it's the same thing with us. We are linked to Louisa. We are victims. Okay, what are we sacrificing? It's not to give life to our human will. I do not want to eat a chocolate chip cookie in the human will ever again. But you, Jesus, have as many chocolate chip cookies as you want. No, Jesus never overeats. But you don't want to do anything separate from Jesus. You want to do everything with and through and for Jesus. So it's the same thing here. He says this victimhood, okay, this victimhood, letting God be God, he says, you'll have the same intentions as mine. They'll be pure and holy, finding my own image in you. And I, Jesus, may pour the influence of my divine graces freely, and I may offer you, Louisa, adorned in this way, as a fragrant victim before divine justice. One of the things that my mom used to do all the time when we were little, and this was in the 50s, so it wasn't the 60s. She would burn incense. Now you got my drift. Okay. So she would, and I'd say to her all the time, why are you burning incense? She says, it's a prayer to God. It's to remind me that I'm praying to God all day long. And this is something that would be good to do as well, is to have your nose keep bringing you to prayer. Have your eyes bringing you to prayer. Have your ears bringing you to prayer. And then when you eat, have it having your taste bringing you to prayer. See, this is what Jesus is showing. As a fragrant victim before divine justice. See, as Catholics, we have to have holy water near our door. So when you come into your house, you bless yourself. You can have holy water inside and outside. Outside, it'll freeze. But inside, you can at least be blessing yourself. You should have crucifixes. You should have the three that protect your house. That's Michael crushing the dragon. You have my mind's gone. You have Benedict, the prayer of the exorcism, facing out. You have also, what's his name? George, yes, thank you. All I could think of was Albert, and I knew that that wasn't it. Yeah, you have George crushing the dragon. And again, the Feast of St. George is the feast of Louisa's birthday. So that's how you can remember it. But you use the sacraments. Use the sacramentals. Wear your scapular. Pray the rosary. Use exercised holy water. Use exercised salt. Use exercised oil. You can put this in your food. You can bless your house, bless the four corners of your house. When there's a storm coming, You can call upon the name of the Lord, ringing the bells. This exercise bells. That's great. Yeah, what with the exercise bell, that ring has to obey the seven prayers that the priest prays, the seven psalms, plus the blessing. Every time this rings, the demons have to obey that, and they flee. They have to go. Use the blessings of the church. If you have scary dreams at night, wear the rosary around your neck. You know, use the exercise salt. In baptism, used to put salt on the baby's tongue, and they don't do that anymore. But put a piece of salt on your tongue. I mean, you don't have to put a whole cube of salt, but just a few grains, and say, Lord Jesus, be with me. What happens at that point is you have this fragrant. You become a fragrant victim. You're one with Jesus, with all the protection. The St. Michael prayer, again, is very, very important. We have these blessings that Jesus wants us to know and to use. July 9th, 1899, my daughter Louisa, I make use of you in order to continue my passion, since my glorified body can no longer be capable of suffering. By coming into you, Louisa, I make use of your body just as I, Jesus, used mine during my mortal life to be able to continue and to suffer my passion, and therefore to be able to offer you, Louisa, as living victim of reparation, as living victim of propitiation before the divine justice. After this, heaven seemed to open, and a multitude of saints came down, all armed with swords. Now listen to this. This is important. A voice like thunder came out from within that multitude, saying, we come to defend the divine justice of God, to take revenge on men who have so much abused his mercy, abused his jubilee year of mercy. This is what he's given us. A multitude of saints. Now, these are not angels. The angels have swords. But these are saints with swords. And it's a battle that's going on with a voice like thunder that came out from that multitude. We have come to defend the divine justice of God, to take revenge on mankind and who have so much abused his mercy. Especially in this last year. This last year, the Children of the Divine Will had a very important role praying in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, that God have mercy on all mankind. And if we haven't done this, these saints are coming after us. I'm serious. It's spiritually, you have to see, we are soldiers of Christ. We are the church militant. And our responsibility is fight for the glory of God. And it doesn't mean to be angry, but to be vigilant, to be filled with zeal for God. Remember David. David fought Goliath. Why did he fight Goliath? Because Goliath insulted God. He says, since you've insulted God, you're going to die. And so what does he do? He picks up five stones from the wadi. Why? Because the rumor has it that Goliath had four brothers. He went to kill them all. Did you see the zeal that's there? That doesn't mean we go out to kill people, but you have to have a zeal for God, for his church. You have to have a zeal for what Jesus is telling Louisa. These angels, these saints that are coming, hang on to your hats. I mean, we have a very important, responsible responsibility before God himself. August 10th, 1899. My divine justice has been withheld for a long time. With reason, it wants to take revenge on the creatures who have dared to destroy even justice within themselves. This is where tolerance is. We have destroyed justice within ourselves. Okay, well, that's okay. I guess it's all right. You want to be married in underwater in a nice shrine down below the. Okay, you don't want to be in a church. Okay, fine. You want to be married in a Wiccan ritual. Fine, I'll be there. Well, that's what's happening. That's what's happening. The vice president, you know, he performed a wedding. And it wasn't a Catholic wedding. Our job is to be faithful and obedient. And again, divine justice wants to take revenge on the creatures who have dared to destroy every justice within themselves. I've heard grandmothers say, well, thank God she's pregnant, not me. That's against life. There'll be vengeance for those words. You have to understand, you are going to be judged for every idle word that came out of our mouth. That's what Scripture says. You know, she's got four kids. Well, she's going to have five. What's wrong with her? That's evil. That's evil. And this is why you have to understand, when the illumination of conscience comes, God is going to put every thought, every word, every deed that we have done, every second of our life, we're going to see. And we're going to see how we have affected not only the people around us, but the people around. 5, 6, 7 people beyond your response to that first person. It's going to be awful. When people, I remember once Mother Angelica was on TV saying, you know, when's this illumination of conscience coming? When is this coming? You know, and I was saying, yeah, when's this coming? And the Lord said to me very clearly, I don't hear Jesus, I don't hear anything, but it was very clear. He says, first of all, you don't know what you're praying for. And number two, he says, can you endure what's coming? And I went, holy cow, don't let it come. It was very severe. What's coming is going to scare the pants off you. We're going to see every thought, every word. And most people, I mean, I hear confessions and I hear a lot of people talk. They love to talk about everybody else. They did this and they did that and they got me upset and they did this and that. What about your sins? And I've talked to people and I've known their lives and I've heard them say, well, I'm pretty good. I'm not too bad. And I'm going, oh my God, they're so blind. What is wrong? See, it's we do not understand the justice of God. He's going to look at every second of your life. Every thought, every word, every deed. And this is what it says here. It's very, very clear. The revenge on the souls that who have dared to destroy justice within themselves. See, we have to be Catholic. Let's look at Sunday. Who keeps holy the Sabbath? Well, there's a great game on, and I think I was going to watch it. Who keeps holy the Sabbath? You know who started CYO? It was started in Chicago. I remember we would have to go to all the basketball games the pastor told us to on Sunday afternoons. It was started by Saul Alinsky in Chicago. Oh, he's the one that taught Obama. He's the one that taught Hillary. It's to destroy the Catholic Church. So what's the first thing he did was let them destroy the holiness of Sunday through games. Now look at it Sunday, golf. Soccer, hockey, tennis, you name it, bowling, everything's on Sunday. Why? You're not in church. Who keeps holy the Sabbath? Who says this is the Lord's day? Well, I'm going to go to Mass Saturday night so I can have Sunday off. No. Sunday is the Lord's day. It's not your day. Who's Catholic? It's very, very clear that you read the Ten Commandments. It's thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But when you come to keep holy the Lord's Day, it's a paragraph. Why? Because if you keep holy the Sabbath, the rest of the commandments are easy. But if you don't keep holy the Sabbath, you're free game. The devil's got you. well, I'll only watch half the basketball game today. No, it's the Lord's Day. Do you remember the blue laws? You know, the first group that fought against the blue laws in New York State was a Catholic. He had a big company, and he sold a lot of groceries. And he made sure that blue law was destroyed. Why? So he could have money. God gave him what he wanted. God gives everybody what they want. Again, this is what it says. I mean, they've dared to destroy justice within themselves. Ah, yes, I, Jesus, find no justice in mankind. He has counterfeited himself completely in his words, in his works, in his steps. Everything is deception. Everything is fraud. Everything is injustice, which has penetrated into his heart in such a way, inside and out. But if he is but a beguile of vices. Poor man, how you have reduced yourself. Catholic, the universal life is the life Jesus wants us to live. The Catholic life. It's to be faithful and obedient Catholics. The minimum requirement of a Catholic is to go to church on Sunday. That's the minimum requirement. Most people don't even go to church on Sunday. Well, I've been to church. I don't have to do anything else. Baloney. That's the minimal requirement. Jesus says, he says very clearly, where the eagles gather, there is the carcass. Where Jesus is, there's where the people will be. Where my servants are, there am I. Where I am, there my servants are. It's God is asking us to do more than what we think. I know a lot of people, they follow their prayers, they do their prayers, and oh, how good. I can pay a communist to sit in church. I could pay a communist to do those prayers. What the divine will is to live the life of Jesus, to live the life of Mary, not just to do devotional things. That's why he said to St. Faustina, the final devotion I'm giving to my church before I return, the final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I, God, return to the earth is divine mercy. There's nothing else after this. Why do you think Pope St. John Paul II focused on going all around the world to tell people to become Catholic? Why did he focus the year 2000 on giving to the world divine mercy? Because he knew this was the last thing God was going to do. Something glorious is coming for those who want it. Those that don't want it, God can't give it to you. I mean, when I just went to a funeral and they sit there and they praise the guy. What a great guy this guy was. He was such a wonderful guy. What a great guy. Wait a minute. We're here to pray for his soul. You know, it's the church has already said no more eulogies. Well, we'll just have one small eulogy. No more eulogies. So when I die, I want the church to say a mass and then pray for me. And then be blunt, be brief, be gone, bury me, put me in the ground, let me become what I'm supposed to be, food for worms. It's to get ready for paradise. And if anybody says anything good about me, I'll come back to haunt them. No, I'm only kidding. All right, go ahead. Okay, so here is Jesus is saying very clearly, I find no justice in man. And while saying this, Jesus was swinging the rod that he had in his hand in the act of wounding mankind. And I, Louisa, said to Jesus, Lord, what are you doing? And he said, do not fear. Do you see this ball of fire? It shall cause fire, but shall only strike the evil. You have to understand this. The good shall receive no harm. Jesus says this is just so that you know. He said to Louisa four things. Number one, the chastisement is coming is so horrific that the large majority of humanity will be gone. He says to Louisa, number two, my mother is marking all her children so no harm can come to them. Number three, Those children of the divine will, the chastisement will have little or no effect upon them. And number four, he says, the survivors will be the little children of the holy divine will. This is what Jesus says here. This fire that's coming, it's going to get rid of the world bad. They're going to be gone. Why? The kingdom is coming. God is saying to Lucifer, take what's yours and get out. My kingdom is coming. Take what's yours and go to hell. My kingdom's coming. Who do we belong to? Who have we proven that we belong to? Not just by, you know, doing devotional life. Devotional life is easy. I mean, I've been in seminaries. I've been in monasteries. It's easy to do. You get your work done and then you can do what you want. The divine will is different. This is not devotional. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, through Louisa, that God gave this gift to. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us, will you be willing to say yes to this? So he says, the good will receive no harm. Ah, Jesus, Lord, who is good? We are all evil. I beg you not to look at us, but at your infinite mercy. In this way, you shall be placated for all. And that's what we should be praying this past year. After this, Jesus added, the daughter of justice is truth, just as I am the eternal truth, and I, Jesus, do not deceive, nor can I deceive. In the same way, Louisa, the soul who possesses divine justice, makes truth shine in all of her actions. Therefore, since Louisa knows by experience the true light of truth, if someone wants to deceive her, since that light which Louisa feels within herself is missing, she immediately recognizes the deceit. And so it happens that with this light of truth, she deceives neither herself nor her neighbor, nor can she be deceived. So Jesus is saying, what I have given to Louisa is not, you're not being deceived if you read this. What I'm giving to Louisa is truth. And he's saying very clearly, read this, study this, put this into practice. The fruit produced by this justice and by this truth is simplicity, which is another quality of God's being simple. So much so that I, Jesus, penetrate everywhere. There is nothing that can prevent me from penetrating inside of it. I penetrate into the heavens and into the abysses, into the good and into evil. But my being, which is most simple, by penetrating even into evil, does not get dirty. Even more, it does not receive the slightest shadow. In the same way, through justice and truth, gathering this beautiful fruit of the simplicity within herself, Louisa penetrates into heaven. Louisa enters into the hearts to lead souls to me, Jesus. Louisa penetrates into everything that is good. And if Louisa finds herself with sinners, Louisa sees the evil that they do. And Louisa does not get dirty because, being simple, Louisa immediately brushes it off without receiving any harm. Again, this is what you're going to discover about Louisa. The more you find, the more you go to Louisa, the happier you're going to be. You're not being deceived. You're receiving the truth, the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary that Louisa has received. This is not a good or holy or saintly thing. This is divine. This is what God wanted in the beginning. To be in that preternatural life of integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. God wants us to enter into this life of God. And that's what's coming. It's going to come to us in a powerful way after divine justice. We've had divine mercy, and now we're going to move into divine justice. And that's why there's four talks this year. The one now, part one, part two is in February, part three is in May, part four is in August. And if we do not, and that's why the books too. You got the calendar, You have the meditative book, and you have the book of justice. As you read this, and again, I would focus on this. I would focus on this this year. This year, as everything starts falling apart, you'll have the opportunity to be filled with hope, filled with joy, filled with happiness. Because you're going to see that this has to happen. God has to do this. And we are alive at this time to help Jesus bring this about. Jesus and Mary are going to bring this about through Louisa, and that's what Jesus is asking of us. October 1st, 1899. My daughter Louisa, you, Louisa, are the relief for my pains. However, know that I do not tell you anything because you always force me not to chastise the people. You want to oppose my divine justice, and if I do not do as you want, you remain disappointed, and I feel more pain for not keeping you content. Therefore, in order to avoid displeasures on both of our parts, I keep silent. My good Jesus, have you perhaps forgotten that you yourself suffer after you have made use of your divine justice, and seeing you suffer in the creatures themselves that make me, Louisa, more than ever alert in forcing you, Jesus, not to chastise the people, and then seeing the creatures themselves turning against you like many poisonous vipers, such that they would almost take your life as it were in their power, because they see themselves under your scourges, and they irritate your justice even more. I don't have the heart to say fiat voluntas tua. My justice can take no more, Jesus says. And I, Jesus, feel wounded by everyone, even by the priests, even by the devout people, even by the secular, especially because of the abuse of the sacraments. That's where you see horrible things. The churches, I remember in the 50s, on Sunday, there was five masses on Sunday. We had three priests in the rectory. There was, I think, 14 nuns in our parish. The church was filled to capacity. Now the church, they redid the church. Half the church is gone. It's now mostly a stage. And nobody's there. The nuns are gone. The priests are gone. The people are gone. The daily communicants are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. They'll be gone. In 15 years, all the churches are going to close. But I have a feeling it's going to close even sooner, because we already got a glimpse of it. The Confederate flag became evil where the ISIS flag is not. You can buy the ISIS flag on eBay. You can't buy the Confederate flag. The Confederate flag was symbolized when they first made it in Virginia. It was a cross with stars. And the Protestants said, it's too Catholic. So they made it into an X. In one day, the Confederate flag was condemned. You can't find it. And if you wear it, you're a racist. Same thing is going to happen to the cross. Same thing is going to happen to the church. In one day, it will be gone. It's already planned. If a priest preaches against homosexuality, that's a hate crime. Do you think a priest would be able to say anything in church? If a priest says anything against abortion, it's a hate crime. Do you think a priest can say anything in church? If a priest doesn't marry two homosexuals, it's a hate crime. In some places you can't even have a crucifix on you. At least in Europe, the priests wore a crucifix. They couldn't wear their collars, they couldn't wear their cassocks, but they could wear a crucifix. But here, no. The church is going to disappear overnight. Why? The children are pagans. The children aren't in church. The children have already been told how to live. Sesame Street also told them how to be happy without Jesus. They've been taught. There's no catechism. It was thrown out. The Baldwin Catechism was thrown out in 1967. There's no teaching. We have the catechism now, but who reads it? We've got more important things to do on our iPhones and our iPads. See, justice, Jesus says, has to come. There's everybody is living in sin, which is okay. How many people do we know are living together? What does Scripture say? The fornicator will not be allowed into the kingdom. Well, I'm going to go over and bring over a cake for them. What? So when they die, if they die now, you're happy that they're going to hell? Well, we got to keep the family together. Why? So that you can watch them go into hell? Tolerance is not part of Christianity. It's never been part of Christianity. You look at the lives of the saints, all of them have swords. Either they were beheaded by them or they fought with them. This is a war. Jesus said, I came for division. And it's very, very clear to me that the Lord is going to give to the church what the church wants. And that's not to exist. So we'll end there, and we'll have Mass at we'll have the Rosary at 11 o'clock.